Good afternoon and welcome to For the Cause of Christ, the radio ministry of the North Coast Baptist Church of Lakewood. The church is under the direction of its pastor, John Lutz. Stay tuned for a message straight and direct from the Word of God. Here now with this week's message is Pastor John Lutz.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to For the Cause of Christ. This is Pastor Al Davis sitting in for Pastor Lutz today. Pastor Lutz is unable to be with us. He had some obligations going on this week, and so he asked me to fill in for him, and I want to thank him for allowing me and entrusting his program to me, and I just hope that you'll be able to stick with us as well. Some of you know me. I follow Pastor Lutz here on Friday afternoons with our program, Alive with Pastor Al. That'll be coming up at 1:30, but for the moment, I'm filling in for Pastor Lutz today, and I'm Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, and we're located in northern Summit County, right where Interstate 77 and the Ohio Turnpike cross. We meet at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located 5171 Brecksville Road there, but we'll have more information about that in the next half hour when we get into our program, Live with Pastor Al. But also remind you to stay tuned for the information at the end of the program on Pastor Lutz and the North Coast Baptist Church in Lakewood, Ohio. He'll have complete information there on how to contact him and the church and their service times, location there in Lakewood, all that information there at the end of the program. But in the meanwhile, hope you'll stick with us here this afternoon. I usually do a live program following this, and where we have telephone lines open for people to call with questions about the Bible or and current events, or current events, I guess I could say, in light of God's Word. And we're going to do that in this half hour as well. So for this half hour and the next half hour, we do have the telephone lines open if you're wanting to call today with a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. You can give us a call toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and we'll get you on the air here this afternoon with your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. And let's see, I wanted to also mention a couple things here. I was thinking about some things happening here, and I'm going to touch on some news items and such, not hopefully in the next half hour, but I thought what I'd lead off with today, I had the opportunity this past week to go down to Kentucky and to tour the Ark exhibit, the Ark Encounter. If you're familiar with the Ark Encounter, that's located down in Williamstown, Kentucky, and that's a little below Cincinnati. If you're familiar with the area there, right off Interstate 75, probably about midway between Cincinnati and Lexington, in Williamstown, and a number of my wife's family is down there, and in fact, my father-in-law lives about 10 minutes from the Ark. And we were joking last week with all the rain that we were having that maybe it's a good time to go down and see the Ark. Well, we had the opportunity to do so, and it's been probably, I'm trying to think, it's 2 years or 3 years since I was last inside the Ark. I think it's 3 years. 2 years ago, I believe, is when we were down there at Christmas time around the outside of the Ark. And if you're not familiar with the Ark exhibit down there, the Ark Encounter, as they call it, let me recommend that you check out their website, arkencounter.com. That's arkencounter.com. And it's really well done. And I was telling somebody about this yesterday, that the thing that I find very impressive with it, other than the attention to detail and all the thought that went into it and the effort that they make to show you how the Ark could have been built and the realistic application of how eight people living and working in the ship, caring for the animals, how it could have been worked out, how it would have been physically possible. A lot of people criticize and attack the idea of the Ark and Noah's flood, and they try to say, well, it's just not possible that they could get all those animals in there and that those few people could take care of them. Well, they address all of those issues there at the Ark Encounter. And There's a number of great places that you can go to find out more information online. Another site that I would suggest is answersingenesis.org. That's answersingenesis.org. They have some excellent information about Noah's Ark and the flood and all of that. And in fact, they're the ones responsible for the Ark encounter. Some of you are familiar, no doubt, with the Creation Museum that they operate in Kentucky as well. The Creation Museum is in Boone County, Kentucky, just to the north. I can't think right off the top of my head the exact town that they're in, but they're just west of the Greater Cincinnati Airport there in Boone County, Kentucky. And it is also worth going to, and you can find out more about that. Of course, just go to either arkencounter.com, as I said, arkencounter.com, or you can go to the Answers in Genesis website, and all those will you can find your way to information about the Creation Museum and the Ark Encounter. And not so much just trying to do an advertisement for this today, but I wanted to say one of the things that this brings out, and I started to say too, that the theme of salvation, the idea that man had sinned and disobeyed God and broken His law, and that man had become more and more wicked, and that finally God reached a point where He decided that He was going to destroy every one on the earth. And people say, well, how can God be so cruel? How could He have done such a horrible thing? Well, Genesis chapter 6, and it says, starting in verse number 1, "And it came to pass, when men began to multiply in the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Now, this is interesting because, see, we read in the Bible the lifespan of people prior to the flood, people living hundreds of years at the time. And, you know, of course, Methuselah, the oldest man recorded in the Bible, he lived, according to Genesis chapter 5 and verse number 27, 969 years, and he died. And that's a pretty ripe old age by any standpoint. But Methuselah would have been alive and died the year that the flood took place. And he would have seen these things that were happening in the world. Men began to multiply in the face of the earth. Daughters were born unto them. And a lot of question comes out as to what this means when it says the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. People have speculated on this. Now, one speculation is that the daughters of men represent the line of Cain. And remember, Cain was the one who killed his brother Abel. That's the first murder recorded in the Bible. And it's generally thought to be the ungodly line, and that the sons of God were are a reference to the descendants of the line of Shem, who Eve bore to Adam as a replacement for their son Abel, who had been killed. And of course, Methuselah, who was the grandfather of Moses, his son Lamech was the father of, I'm sorry, I said Moses, didn't I, of Noah. His father, Methuselah gave birth to Lamech. Lamech gave birth to Noah. And then, of course, all of these men would have been involved in the building of the ark, because the building of the ark took a considerable amount of time. And during this time, the world was becoming more and more wicked. And I don't think that trying to say the godly line of Shem and the ungodly line of Cain is going to explain this term that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. There's an idea of some kind of spiritual wickedness going on here, and I think it goes even beyond that. I think the sons of God, personally, I believe that the sons of God are a reference to fallen angels, and the daughters of men are human women. And you say, what do you mean by that, Pastor Al? Well, Jesus says, and it's recorded in the book of Luke, that at the time of his return, it would be like it was in the days of Noah, and that would mean wickedness would be increasing. He also said it would be like in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, with the immorality and homosexuality that Sodom and Gomorrah were noted for at the time. Remember when God sent the angels to bring Lot and his daughters out of Sodom. And then Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed. These are the characteristics of the time that we would be living in before the Lord comes back. And we see these types of characteristics. So we see the rampant homosexuality and all kinds of sexual immorality going on, like in the days of Lot, in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, with the homosexual movement. This is the Pride Month that's going on right now. We're just concluding the Pride Month. They call it Pride. And you know, they took the very flag that got the symbol of what God put in the sky to show that he was having mercy on the earth. Remember, he put the rainbow as a sign in the sky, the rainbow, so that when after there's a storm or during a rain that they would see the rainbow in the sky, we'd see the rainbow in the sky and know what God had done, and that he promised that he would never destroy the world by a flood again. And so we see them appropriating the rainbow flag, and it's an in-your-face to God. And then, of course, they call it Pride Month, proud of their sin, proud of their wickedness. And just remember that that's what happened with Lucifer. His heart was lifted up with pride, and he rebelled against God. And so that's what we see happening with our world today, the transgendered and the drag queen story hours. If you've been following any of these stories going on where men that are dressed as women, I say that loosely, if you've seen any of these pictures of these men dressed as women, I do not know any women who go out in public looking like these men are dressed up. In some cases, they look like clowns. Some cases, they look satanic. But they're caricatures and a mockery of what a woman looks like. And so again, it's a mockery of God. It's a thumb in the eye of God. It's pride. They're lifted up with pride, and they want us to endorse it. And you know, people are going along with it. They're taking their children to these things, allowing these men dressed in drag to read stories about homosexual relationships to children in the school and public libraries, taking their children to see these perversions of men and women in these pride parades and events and things that are going on, as in the days of Lot, the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. But what about the days of Noah? What's going on with the sons of God and the daughters of men? You know, there's a term, and I've talked about it on our program in the past, called transgenderism, or I'm sorry, transhumanism. Thinking transgendered there, talking about with Lot and everything, but transhumanism, and this is an effort to change the very nature of humanity through DNA alterations, through integration of technology, and through use of drugs and hormones and everything. I guess transgenderism would sort of count as that. But it's an alteration of what it means fundamentally to be human. I just read an article where they were talking about how they have human brain cells that they allow to grow into small clumps to study how they form neural networks. And there's been other cases where they've actually put those human brain cells into mice to allow them to develop. And of course, they assure us that they're never going to develop some kind of super mouse. Obvious reference here, if you remember the old cartoon Pinky and the Brain. We could chuckle at that, but it's sad what is going on. There's efforts to create the super soldier who can go on less sleep, less food, not fear, stronger and everything through the addition of DNA altering and technology that's actually grafted into the human body, and all these kind of things that are going on, bringing in genes from other animals, chimeras, the idea of a chimera, bringing genes of other animals into human beings. And my thought here is that what the devil was trying to do back in the days of Noah was to try to corrupt humanity, to try and destroy the distinctness of the human DNA. And we see that we've used crossbreeding and selective breeding of animals. Look at dogs, for instance. We have selectively bred dogs. We've produced everything from a tiny Chihuahua to a Great Dane, from a Great Pyrenees down to a Dachshund, and all these types of different dogs in between. And in reality, and this is one of the things that they bring out at the Ark Encounter, the dog kind, which really would have included the domestic dog, the wolf, the coyote, the fox, essentially, you would have only needed a pair of the dog kind on the ark. You didn't need an Arctic wolf, a gray wolf, a red wolf, a coyote, a dog, a red fox, a gray fox. You just needed the one pair of the dog, representative of the dog kind. And they would change, or not change, but the various, what we call species, would occur over time through selective breeding, influence of the environment. But they're still all basically dogs, the dog kind. They've never changed. In fact, all the research that's been done into trying to chart evolutionary changes is we find things on the species and even the genus level, but nothing really above that. The family level is the next level up, which means the dogs never become, the dog kind never becomes the cat kind, and it always stays in the dog family. And there's really a lot of debate as to how we should classify some animals sometimes as to what genus, and so they change the genus and species of animals oftentimes, but I digress into that. Get back to the idea of what was happening here in the days of Noah. I believe that what we had was the devil and the fallen angels coming down, some people say actually taking forms, human forms, where they were actually marrying and having children, because the Bible says there were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bear children to them, and the same became mighty men, which were of old men of renown. And some people believe that, or it could be simply that the devil and the fallen angels possessed the different men, different women, and for this crossbreeding purposes, trying to destroy the purity of the human race. Now, I do want to put out a word of warning there. There's some false teaching out there, the Christian identity idea that there was a line of Cain, and that Cain was actually born of a sexual union between the devil and Eve, which produced Cain. Now, that's completely unbiblical. I mean, the Bible plainly tells us in Genesis chapter 4, verse 1, and Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. There is no mention of the devil impregnating Eve there. That's just pure heresy. We had a caller to our Sunday night program last Sunday night trying to plug one of these Christian identity groups and trying to teach and say that the Jewish people are the ungodly line of Cain, which was a result of the union of Eve and Lucifer. And that just pure heresy. And I can't denounce that strongly enough. But I think they were trying to pollute the godly the human DNA, because the devil knew that the Savior, the Messiah, was going to be born one day as a human being, and he wanted to destroy that human DNA, and somehow or another he was working this, and God saw what was going on. These people became more and more wicked. And so it says in verse 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that the every imagination and thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Now, God had said in verse 3, let me read that again. The Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. This is not the lifespan of a man. This is not the average lifespan or anything like that. What he's saying is things had become so wicked, he said, only 120 more years would he tolerate this, and that's when he's going to send the flood and destroy all of humanity. You say, well, how could God be so cruel? Well, look, everyone had become more and more wicked. How many people got on the ark? How many people were there that feared God that were able to get on the ark? It was Noah, his wife, his three sons, and their wives. 8 people, that's all. Now, does that mean only 8 people followed the Lord during this 120 years? I don't believe that's the case, but I do believe that that's all that was left. The world had become so wicked that it says it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And man said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing that fouls the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And God gave Noah, and I don't have time to go into the rest of the story, but God gave Noah the instructions on how to build this massive ship. This is about 4,400 years ago, give or take a few hundred. This ship was about 510 feet long, 85 feet wide, 51 feet high, and it had the capacity to easily house several thousand animals, plus the supplies and everything that God brought onto the ship with Noah. And during the entire time that Noah is building this ark, and that his sons are, and his family are laboring with him, and that his father and his grandfather and others, no doubt, were laboring with him, we had the opportunity for Noah for 120 years to preach and to warn people that judgment was coming. Now, is God wrong that he destroyed man from off the face of the earth? Should he have just left man grow more and more wicked every day, every year, without hope? Well, God created us. He can do with us what he wants. We're created for his glory. But for 120 years, God had Noah building the ark so that people would hear that there's judgment coming because of sin. The wages of sin is death, and that people needed to repent and turn to God and follow him. You know, God could have made room on the ark for others, but I think people did come to Christ during that time. Oftentimes you hear preachers say for 120 years he preached and nobody got saved. Nobody responded. I think people did, because think about this. If the devil understood what was going on and what God was doing, wouldn't he have tried to destroy the ark? Doesn't that make sense? I think that God had people there, such as Lamech and Methuselah and others, that died in the effort to build the ark and to safeguard the ark. It was a wooden structure, after all. I mean, how hard would it have been for the devil to motivate somebody to try and burn it, set it afire? But for 120 years, Noah and his family and others labored building the ark, warning people of judgment to come. You know, that's what we're doing today. We're warning people that judgment is coming. One day, the Bible says, as it was in the days of Noah with wickedness, the Lord's going to come back. We need to be in the ark of Jesus Christ. Well, stay tuned. We've got another half hour to go.
You have been listening to For the Cause of Christ with Pastor John Lutz from the North Coast Baptist Church in Lakewood. Pastor Lutz and the congregation would like to extend a cordial invitation for you to join them at any of their services. Sunday morning worship is at 11, the Sunday evening service is at 6, and the Wednesday Bible study is at 7 p.m. North Coast Baptist Church is located at 2051 Quail Street in Lakewood. For directions or more information, please call 216-521-3800. That's 216-521-3800. Or send an email to northcoastbaptist@sbcglobal.net. That's northcoastbaptist@sbcglobal.net. Thank you for listening. This program has been sponsored by the North Coast Baptist Church of Lakewood, Ohio.